Sam Adams is running for Portland City Council position number 4. Adams was previously a member of the Portland City Council from 2005 to 2008 as Commissioner of Public Utilities, running the Portland Office of Transportation as well as the Bureau of Environmental Services. In 2009, Adams was elected as mayor of Portland and became the first openly gay mayor of a top 30 U.S. city. Since then, Adams has worked as executive director of the nonprofit organization City Club of Portland and in 2014 became director of U.S. climate initiatives at the World Resources Institute. Thank you for talking with me today. First off, why are you running for Portland City Council?
Well, when I came back to Portland in May of last year, I felt firsthand what I had been sort of observing from afar during my work in Washington, D.C., heading up the U.S. program for an environmental think tank. What I found is that many of the challenges that Portland faced were getting beyond our reach or getting close to being beyond our reach to tackle, to make serious progress on. And that concerned me. And also the sense from Portlanders of all walks of life that their connection, their sense of connection was frayed or broken when it came to City Hall. And what really alarmed me and caused me to put my hat in the ring was this growing acceptance that, you know, maybe we can't, you know, make big changes, big improvements in like houselessness and homelessness and, you know, transportation, pollution, congestion and safety. We can make great strides on those issues. And Portland is the kind of city that doesn't give up on trying to solve problems that other cities have long ago sort of shrugged their shoulders and gave up on. And so I'm running as someone who has, you know, hands-on experience taking on tough issues, even, you know, Willamette Week, who's, you know, not exactly been a friend of mine over the years, said referring to me, even his toughest critics say he was an accomplished mayor. And in addition to my experience, I also, working for World Resources Institute Environmental Think Tank, had the opportunity through that work to travel the world and the United States and see how other cities are, you know, tackling their problems. So I bring back that sort of fresh eyes and new thinking and inspiration from other places, along with, my experience. And we're now headed in the, you know, we're in a very deep economic recession right now, and people that were living on the edge, are really being pushed over the cliff by, you know, the high job loss, businesses that are closed. I was mayor during the Great Recession and led the city from being one of the hardest hits in that 2008 recession to be one of the fastest locales to recover. So, and we did that with, you know, innovative programs like fast-tracking already funded city construction projects worth hundreds of millions of dollars to keep people working. I overcut the city's budget so that I could increase funding for, you know, homelessness and keep people, rent vouchers, keep people in their homes, 30% increase in general fund funding, $42 million over 4 years, and had the city approval of the city's first neighborhood economic development strategy and implemented the Neighborhood Prosperity Network and the Portland Seed Fund to help, businesses in the poorest main streets in Portland and to help startup businesses with the unique public-private partnership. So I bring all that to my run for city council. I would bring that to the city council if I get elected.
And what would your priorities be in this position specifically?
Housing, jobs, those are my priorities. Housing, because it's the inaffordability of housing and the lack of, you know, I think there's well-intentioned, don't get me wrong, people working on this issue. And some great work has been done, but there's room for much improvement. You know, for example, The City Council in 2015 declared an emergency around houselessness and affordable housing, but I don't think they've really acted on it besides investing some money into the Joint Office of Homeless Services, which I support that investment, and I support the Joint Office of Housing Services that the city and the county, along with Metro, formed. That's the right approach. But, you know, name for me the city's coordinator on houselessness. You can't, because there isn't one. If people fully embraced, as I do anyway, that this is an emergency to be a better partner with the county and Metro, you know, we need to have a homelessness coordinator in the city. Where's the weekly meeting of all the bureaus siloed in the commission from a government that are meeting to be proactive on issues, to address issues both for those that are suffering from homelessness, but also those that are impacted by homeless camps? It's not an either or, it's both. We got to take care of both constituencies. And you just can't do that unless you're coordinated. So the existing money that's going to it, I think, can be more effectively deployed. I think it can be more effectively planned. I'm not even sure that there is a summer strategy for houselessness. And we see a big increase in houselessness and a big increase in complaints during the summer months. So we need to be on top of this better than we are. On jobs, it's going to be a twisting path forward through COVID-19 until this federal government, who has really just bungled in so many ways, obviously preparation and now dealing with the issue itself with Trump asking people to resist the stay-at-home orders of their governors. I mean, this is as irresponsible as, you know, one could possibly imagine. So it's going to be a twisting road up front. I think there are, at the moment, while we're sheltering in place, governments that work in the city of Portland are making big cuts to their budgets because of declining revenues. But my pitch to them is, don't make it alone in your silos, you know, and there are 26 independently operated governments in the 149 square miles that is the city of Portland. City government is just one of those. You know, that's government spending in the city, it depends on how you count it, is between $11 and $18 billion. The city of Portland is about $5.5 billion. So, you know, take, for example, transportation, the bureau that I used to be the commissioner in charge of for 8 years. And I did this when I was on the city council and transportation commissioner, because I was cutting the bureau's budget 8 years in a row because of declining gas tax and vehicle registration fees. I would have the bureau sit down with all the other transit and mobility providers in the city of Portland, and we would, before we finalized our budgets, we would compare and we would work to coordinate. If everybody's that provides transit, transportation, mobility services, enforcement, maintenance, if they're all cutting their budgets in their own little silos, it's we, the public, that are going to pay the price for that dysfunctional approach. So we need to have jurisdictions that work in the city of Portland. The city of Portland needs to convene those folks and compare notes and coordinate budget cuts, not just to preserve services, which are important, especially services for those in the greatest need for affordable and safe transportation services, you know, but to preserve as much of those frontline services as possible.
And what do you see right now as the biggest problem facing Portlanders?
The economy, joblessness, businesses that are at the brink of failing, the lack of income for workers and families that threatens, you know, an exponential increase in homelessness, the economic insecurity wrought by the pandemic and all of its impacts and ripples through people's lives is profound. It puzzles me why, for example, you know, when this first was making its way to the United States, having worked through many disasters over my years in city government, knew that it would likely land here. But I still listen to people that are running for city council, even in my race, and this is reflected in like the voters' pamphlet statements, that are talking about the critical issues we face without really factoring in any meaningful way the new realities on the ground. That's why, you know, I've really transformed much of my campaign into an advocacy campaign.
What would you say is the biggest lesson you learned during your time as mayor of Portland?
You know, when we went through the Portland plan, so the city of Portland, like most cities across the United States, didn't have a strategic plan, you know, and that probably rolls the eyes of a lot of people listening to it. Sounds very bureaucratic, but what it meant is that bureau managers, workers, city commissioners, you know, could get up in the morning and everyone had a different definition of what the future success of Portland should be. Didn't have agreed upon foundational commitments to equity and inclusion or sustainability. My former boss, Mayor Vera Katz, understood the need for this, maybe not media sexy, but how important it was that a $5.5 billion public enterprise, you know, like the city of Portland, knew what its goals were and where it wanted and how it, you know, that its theory of change of how it was going to get there. So instead of just doing a plan for city government itself, the Portland plan, we really sought to involve those 26 layers of government that I mentioned earlier, so that we weren't just doing the much needed work of getting the siloed commission form of government sort of on the same page, but also to try to, we can't order them, but to try to empower, educate, and engage the other layers of government that work in the city of Portland, not only to solve problems, but to seize opportunities. And what I've learned through that process, and we had, I think, 12,000 resident or 12,000 inputs from people, dozens and dozens of meetings. We went out to groups where they met as opposed to expecting them to show up, met at neighborhoods, did a lot of outreach. And what I learned is it was something that people intuitively got, the importance of it, and that it was perceived as, you know, a basic requirement of government to have a plan so that they can judge their progress or lack of it, and others can, and also to remind themselves in times like this, especially while you're cutting budgets, let's say, that we still have to do everything we can to achieve the goals of what in the, you know, with a foundation of sustainability and equity, and the Portland Plan's goals of educated, healthy, and prosperous. You know, it's 12 performance measures that are reported on, their action items in the near term. So one of the biggest lessons I learned as I started, when we started out this project, I didn't think there'd be much interest and I thought it would be derided. And there was sometimes a lack of interest and sometimes derided. But I was pleasantly surprised that people got how important it was that we've created for ourselves a roadmap of where we want to go. And, you know, now I support changing the commission form of government to a form of government that reflects, you know, more like Multnomah County's form of government, where you have an executive chair that could be the mayor. You have a chief operating officer at the county that could be a city manager. You have board members that are elected by district, so could the city council, except I think, you know, we need more than five. So I think we have the example in Multnomah County. We have the Portland plan to guide our way, and I champion both of those together, in part because I've learned that people are really passionate about that they want us to have the basics done.
And how can our listeners find out more about your campaign?
Yeah, go to samadamspdx.com. Feel free to email me at sam@samforpdx.com. Text me or call me on my cell phone at 503-421-8925. And again, give me your best ideas, critiques, questions. This campaign is a great opportunity for folks to put their interests forward.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. That was Sam Adams, Portland City Council candidate for position number 4. I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu with the KBOO Evening News.